Hello, this is Pastor Vic's Nuggets Show, podcasting from historic Hyde Park, New York. And I'm your host, Dr. Vic Torres, pastor, teacher, and author. I'll be presenting a series on Christ, Christians, and Christianity from a biblical perspective. My focus will be on the love, forgiveness, and acceptance found in Jesus Christ, which enables us to live victoriously. This is episode 5, entitled Hearing God's Voice. I want to take a moment to just repeat a little of what I said in episode 0 regarding the process of going from knowledge to wisdom about God. It'll help in establishing a foundation for the understanding as to what it means to hear the voice of God. Wisdom, in a general sense, is that quality of making sound judgments that, on a personal level, lead to peace, harmony, and a better quality of life or an outcome. Now, you can gain wisdom by trial and error, or you can choose to trust in the wisdom that comes from God's Word, the Bible. The Bible teaches that there's a process of gaining wisdom. The steps to gaining wisdom are most often described in this sequence. First, you get knowledge, then you gain understanding, and then you obtain wisdom. So let's take a look at knowledge. Knowledge is we could define as the basic building blocks of wisdom. Knowledge represents a person's acquired truths or facts about life. This accumulation of knowledge can happen in several ways: through personal experience, through thought, learning, from the experiences of others. And of course, the greatest truth that a person can possess with the mind or learn through experience are truths about God. True knowledge about God cannot be gained by human reasoning alone or just the intellect. It is only fully acquired as God shows himself to a person through his word, aided by the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us begin our life in Christ with virtually no knowledge of the Bible. We have no background to build upon. So gaining knowledge requires a great amount of work. This also means that we have many things to unlearn: wrong understandings, bad habits, and worldly mindsets. Surely but slowly, as we study God's Word, we accumulate facts and information. You know, for instance, the names of the books of the Bible, the Bible characters, biblical events, and stories. What we're collecting are the building materials needed to build a structure that will help us to stand firm in this life. As born-again believers, we also have the assistance of a great helper. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth about God as we study His Word, the Bible. Prior to receiving Christ as our Savior, we read the Bible only with our natural minds. But now we are spiritual and we have been given the mind of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit enlightens our eyes and minds to the passages in the Scriptures that would be relevant to our situation or circumstances. We begin to see and understand Scripture passages that we may not have noticed before. We recognize the life and power that accompanies the Word of God. Our passion for God and His Word begins to burn with a greater fervor. The Bible reveals itself as the Word, and the word in the New Testament is derived from two Greek words, actually. The Greek words are logos and rhema. The first word, logos, means the written word or an expression of thought. The second word, rhema, means the spoken word or a word uttered in speech or in writing also. Now, both terms, rhema and logos, are used throughout the New Testament, and it is always translated as the word. And I'll have more to say about this in the next episode. For now, the Bible reveals that its own words are living and able to discern both the thoughts of our mind and the motives of our heart. God is able to speak to us through the Bible, His living word. God can speak to us about general principles for life. And He can also speak to us about personal matters or circumstances. That's the reason why it's so important for us to be reading the word or listening to the word, for it's literally the building material for our foundation in Christ. Now, understanding, if let me put it this way, if If knowledge are the building blocks, then understanding is the mortar of wisdom. It's what holds everything together. Understanding represents a desire to use the knowledge we have of God to know and serve Him. As we continue to accumulate information or knowledge, we begin to seek connections between the collections of facts, dates, and stories. The Holy Spirit is actively at work illuminating or enlightening our understanding. As we study and pray, the Holy Spirit begins to teach us the concepts or the principles of God's Word. This helps us to connect our fragments of knowledge together into a cohesive structure. Now, when this begins to happen, the Scriptures will make much more sense. We wind up gaining a much fuller understanding of the truth. And this is what you might call personal revelation. It's what helps the Bible in all of its parts to fit together and make spiritual sense. Now, wisdom, on the other hand, is the application of understanding. Wisdom represents more than knowledge and understanding. Wisdom is knowing what pleases God and then doing it. Many think that having knowledge and understanding of God are enough. But from God's point of view, there's a further step to take, and that step is wisdom. Wisdom is the knowledge and understanding of God being correctly applied with correct motives to everyday life. As I said, it's not enough to simply hear and understand the Word of God. We are called to be doers of the Word, who are motivated by pure hearts. Being a doer of the Word many times requires faith, and it's this kind of faith that pleases God. And the Bible tells us that in Hebrews 11, verse 6. This is what it really means to be led by the Spirit. The Bible provides the knowledge, the Holy Spirit gives us understanding of the Bible, and again, the Holy Spirit leads us to do the Word. Now, of course, ultimately, we must choose to actually apply and do the Word of God. So all three aspects, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, require some effort on our part. But we also must receive the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scriptures for knowledge. The Holy Spirit gives us personal revelation for understanding. And the Holy Spirit leads us to be doers of the Word, stirring up our faith. And again, it's this faith that will release the full blessings of God upon our lives. In the last episode, we answered the question, does the Bible speak? And the conclusion was that the Bible does speak, but not in ways we might think. The statement that the Bible speaks is really a metaphor. The Bible doesn't have an audible voice. However, the Bible is able to produce the same effect as the spoken word. It communicates or conveys information from the Holy Spirit of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, Jesus makes a statement he makes this statement, "My sheep know my voice." The born-again believers throughout the world have the spiritual ability to hear his voice because we are his sheep. You are his sheep. You can hear God's voice. As believers, we just need to know what to look for or listen for in his voice. For in most cases, it's not an audible voice. I need to be careful here. The Holy Spirit can speak in an audible voice. The Holy Spirit is God and can do anything he wants. But it's not the most common experience that individuals have. While an audible voice may not be the most common way that God speaks, he is able to produce the same effect through his word, the Bible. In the previous episode, I mentioned how illumination of the Bible works as we are reading the Bible. And I said then that Bible scholars use the term illumination of scriptures. And that means that as we're reading the Bible, certain verses or phrases come alive. They seem to jump off the page. And they happen to be relevant to what we're going through in life or in our growth to maturity as a Christian. It happens so that as you're reading, it's as if you can identify with the person, the place, or the situation in the Bible. And it literally seems to be speaking to you and your situation. It's that sudden flash of insight into understanding. A verse you may have read before that didn't make sense or didn't seem particularly significant all of a sudden comes alive with meaning. And that's an example of the illumination of the Holy Spirit of His Word. It's as if the Holy Spirit were saying, "This is important for you." After all, it's the Holy Spirit who inspired the words of the Bible in the first place. And He can best bring insight for you, after all. Again, He knows best what you need. In the last episode, I also mentioned my personal experience with my anger issues and how reading the verse in James 1:19 impacted me. James 1:19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now, the instant I read it, the Bible seemed to say to me, "You have an anger issue. Deal with it because I'm not pleased with it." Now, someone else could have read the very same verse at the same time, and they would have agreed with the scripture, but in my case, it was like facing a crossroad in my life. I had to decide which way I was going to go. And that's the power of the illuminated word. Now, before I go any further, I want to address an issue that I've heard some people say. And this is it. They say, "I'm a Christian, and I can hear from God, so I don't need the Bible." Since we're talking about spiritual communication, that statement is true, but there's an important catch. Which spirit are you listening to? You see, God is not the only spirit who can influence or speak to you. First of all, there's your own human spirit. And quite frankly, you're often encouraged to do what you wanted to do in the first place. It will never challenge you. It will often place the issue on someone else, for instance, a spouse, a friend, a coworker, or neighbor. You see, your spirit never sees a problem as residing in you. Obviously, if it were God's spirit, His focus would be on you, not others, to transform you into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Then there's the issue of Satan or the devil, who was a spiritual entity. Therefore, he can communicate with the spirit of human beings. Now, if you have a picture of some ugly demonic being with horns and a tail all dressed in red, you probably would be wrong. You see, the devil is slick and cunning. The Bible teaches that the devil is an incredible liar, and you can read that in John 8:44. Now, by that, I mean he is the most convincing. Deception is his game, and he knows how to appeal to the weaknesses of human beings. Another important consideration is that the devil can come disguised as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us that. This means that he can appear as innocent, caring, and looking out for your interest and well-being. Throughout the ages, the devil has deceived multitudes. And this is where the Bible is so critical, because through it, we learn the character and the nature of God. In essence, the Bible is our compass in determining if what we're hearing is of God, is of self, or of the devil. Here are a couple of principles that cannot possibly be violated that the Bible teaches that are good to use as a measure of the kind of spirit that is trying to influence you. Number one, God is omnipotent. Now, this is a fancy word that means that God is all-powerful and nothing and no one is more powerful than him. This also means that nothing is impossible with him. So any voice that speaks to your situation as impossible has got to be a lie, because nothing is impossible with God. The second thing is that God is omniscient. That's a strange sounding word, but it simply means that God knows everything that can possibly be known. Now, this also means that nothing is hidden from him. There's no secret that God does not know. You may think you can hold secrets from God, but he knows everything. He knows your inner thoughts and your motives. Listen, you can't outwit him or outplay him, because he can see right through you. The third important factor to remember is that God is omnipresent. This means that he is everywhere at once. So that means you can't hide from him. As a believer, his Holy Spirit is with you and in you. No matter where you go, he is there. Any voice that tells you that God is not present or that God won't know is a lie. The fourth principle would be that God cannot lie. This means that every word in the Bible is from Him, and we should look at the Bible as a book of promises. If God said it, He will perform it. That simply means it will come to pass. God will never violate His own word. He won't say something in the Bible and then have you act contrary to that through a voice that you hear. This brings an interesting thought to mind. Over the last 2,000 years, there have been many predicting the return of Jesus Christ, or what's known as the Second Coming. Now, even Jesus' disciples asked Him this question in Matthew 24:3. And this is what the scripture says. Now, as He sat on the Mount of Olives, meaning Jesus, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of Your coming and the end of the age?" Yet Jesus clearly states in Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but My Father only." In other words, the Bible shows that no one can know or figure out when He will return, and yet many have publicly given the time and date for His return, only to be disappointed and humiliated. Now, I know they probably read the scripture, but instead they believed they had a revelation from God. Remember, Satan comes disguised as an angel of light, and solely in an attempt to deceive the believers. God does not lie. If He said it, it will be. And finally, the fifth point, God is good. This means He's always good. Now, I know in this world there's much that is tragic and even evil. It'd be easy to believe that God is responsible for, at least in part, for all of that. But He's not. God is not good sometimes, and then sometimes He's bad. He is pure light and goodness. Now, we do live in a fallen world, which means that the evil in the world is the consequence of people over the ages following their own heart and disobeying God. You see, God gave us a free will to choose good or evil, and throughout the ages, many have chosen evil, and all the consequences that come with disbelieving and disobeying God are present in the world today. Now, in closing, just want to say that there's another way in which the Bible or the Word of God can speak in situations that require direction or encouragement, and that's through something called a Rhema word. And we'll talk more about that in our next post or our next episode. Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. If you like our program and want to know more, please check out our website at www.pastorvicsnuggets.com. or simply www.pastorvic.com. Please do leave a comment, and we really love a review on iTunes or any of the other podcast platforms. Anyway, be blessed, and I look forward to speaking to you the next time. God bless you again.